This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, A-Town? Hey! How we doing? It's Friday. It's Press Box.
That was
Nick
the
is
weakest what up, H-Town ever. What's wrong, buddy?
Oh, time out. First of all, that still had plenty of power.
It actually did. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
It has some umph.
Because I'm honest with you in the fact that my allergies are absolutely going crazy today.
Well, hopefully you feel better. And the good thing is you've got the weekend, buddy.
Yeah.
You've got the weekend.
Yeah, so you can just carry us like you normally do. I'll be fine. I'll get through the show. Everything will be hunky-dory.
Plenty to talk about, at least.
No doubt. I was driving all over this morning, Nick. I had to listen to the bench. And
you had
a guy
to.
Named...
You didn't want to, but you had to.
No, I mean, I enjoy the bench. And you get an ass clown, and that's a term we're going to use a lot today, by the way. You get an ass clown named Ricky that decides he's going to call in and he's going to rate everybody on 97.5.
What did he do?
So he says, you know what? Joel's really intelligent. He's smart. I like him. However, he sounds like Green Bay Packers on 610.
Oh, okay. It's that guy.
Yeah. And then he goes a step further because I always make sure you're my barometer to say, are we, you know, you tell me, is it pertinent news to talk about? Otherwise, I don't have to talk about it.
I'm the one who brought up Aaron Rodgers today when
exactly.
I filled in for Charlie Polillo. It's a national story.
Then he follows it up with, and yeah, he's married to Lisa Hernandez, but if he mentions her, I mean, if I wanted to know about her, I'd go to her Facebook. I'm sorry, I'm married to her. Lance talks about his wife. Granado talks about Wendy. You talk about Chiquita. I don't understand
Lisa, and suddenly
that's a problem.
My dog is not my girl. That's number one. But I do bring up Chiquita because she's lovely.
Yes.
All right.
Fine.
And you bring up Lisa. And it's fine.
So that didn't, you know, that didn't sit great with me, but I was like, all right, whatever. We're just going to have a great show today. And then there's the antics of yesterday before we get in anything further. Nick, I don't believe, how many other stadiums have you been in for other sports teams?
Several, probably like six or seven, if that counts as several.
When you go to those stadiums, do you ever wear their team colors or their t-shirts or jerseys?
Never.
Yeah, see, that's the way I am too. So, and then the other thing, Nick, is say, for example, ESPN 97.5 was the home, flagship home of the Rockets.
Okay.
Okay. If you were on vacation and you went to Austin and you decided you would wear a Russell Westbrook t-shirt, do you think that I would have you take a picture of it and send it to me so that I could take it to management and tattle on you and say that you're really a bad guy?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? But yet, you get caught after not tagging you or me and retweeting a tweet that says, this isn't my burner account, but I 200% support this when someone says they should be listening to the Astros game instead of you and I. Derogatory term as well. But yet you're guilty of violating every man card on the planet, trying to get someone else in trouble. And oh, by the way, then Yankee fans find a split screen that they tweet of you at Yankee Stadium in a Yankee t-shirt while you're on the flagship for the Astros that you're promoting, but that's okay. All right. I've said my piece.
I'm doing pretty good about not worrying about these haters. Because I always aggravate somebody at some point. Just because when I'm being honest, I feel like every time I'm being honest, that's when you get the hate. It's inevitable. And there's a bunch of radio hosts that are a bunch of weasels. So if you're referring to any of these radio hosts, lying-ass weasels. You know how radio hosts are, and it's just the way it is. But as far as the haters go, look, you can tune in from 1 to 4. You don't. So it's all.
That's what I always say. You can make choices.
We want you to tune in, but if you don't.
Of what we put out there.
So. But, I don't care about those people anymore. That, you know what? I did the entire Charlie Polillo show today, Joel.
Yeah.
Didn't look at the text line once.
Good for you.
It was fabulous.
Good for you.
It was fabulous. The Twitch obviously is completely different dynamic. You've talked about this a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So,
but now wait a minute. But yet you were stirring it up again today. You're starting to be the soup ladle.
I'm not. I'm just being honest. I am not opening up the car door if I'm in a relationship the entire time we're in a relationship. I don't think that makes me a bad guy. I don't think that makes me a male empowering speaking person like Tyler and Dell accused me of. I just think it's honest. A lot of people stop opening up the car door, and I had a lot of people support me. But when you, everybody says, I want honesty, I want honesty, I want honesty. And then when you give them honesty, they get angry.
Can I ask why you wouldn't, you don't do that? Because here's the thing. If you draw the line and say it's just with the car, but I heard Dell say he'll open the door.
Yeah.
Or hold the elevator. I do all the above. But I was just raised in a family in which that was stressed, and that was what you did for females. My grandma, my mom, whoever. I do it for Lisa all the time.
I will say this. If you stop doing it for Lisa, she probably won't leave you.
She won't leave me for sure, but she will notice. Because there are the rare occasions where I forget because we're, like, unloading the kids and doing stuff, and she'd be like, babe, all of a sudden, you're not going to open the door for me anymore? I was like, I totally forgot. I mean, I'm doing six other things.
Yeah. I get the dynamic because someone brought up the example of kids. And now you have kids and having a car seat and bringing them into the car. That's a task that I know is very difficult. And I get it. Just taking your kids to the store to do some shopping can be, you know, it requires a lot of effort. So I can understand a dynamic where you're not opening the door there. But even if you don't, it's like, at some point, it dies off, you know? It's not the end of the world. I don't think it makes you look bad. Someone said, well, if you go up to the car, don't open the car door, and she sees another man open up the car door for his wife, then you look like an absolute dirtbag. And I can see that dynamic, but I feel like it's not that important. But people get so upset. They get so upset when I say something, because it's the truth. You know how many times I started dating a girl? I started opening the door, and then inevitably I just stopped doing it. Do you know how many times I've done that? Like 1,000 times. I don't see women blowing me up saying, you're a terrible human being. You stopped opening up the car door for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think every female notices it or it's a big deal. But I do think that there are females where it is. But there's also many guys too that got to be a little smarter too. Like, you know, when you were talking about some of the topics earlier this week. Well, if you even want to be in the conversation to really have a chance to have some ball being played on the field, you can't ever go Dutch. Some guys believe that early on when you're dating someone, you should go Dutch. Well, guess what? That's fine. You split the check. You also realize that's grounds for you're not getting any. That's as simple as that can be. Whenever I hear this argument and I hear guys that I hoop with or otherwise, and they're like, man, it was the second date, so we just split it, and that's the way we've been doing it early on. I'm like, well, bro, if you're like shaking your head at the end of the date and wondering why there wasn't a, hey, come on in, or hey, let's go to your place, that's pretty much why.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody inevitably says, all right, that's why you'll never be married, Nick. That's why your D game is terrible. That's the reason why you never get laid. What's your longest relationship? Like a question I'm getting asked right now on Twitch. It's 7 years, by the way, for those of you who are wondering. But I've gotten that question probably 4 times today. But, yeah.
I love you stirring it up, though, because I just like the reactions of everybody. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it was a fair concept. And I honestly don't think women hate me for saying that. I don't.
Well, we have enough women that listen to the show. We'll find out. I mean, look, I think it's a personal preference. I think like so many other things. It's just how you choose to go about your business. And some people just don't ever think that's a big deal, or they were just where they were raised and how they were raised.
You know what I found out? Like, I don't know, like, because I saw this girl tweet out, like, do men even ask women out on dates anymore? I just want to go out on a date, like a planned date. And honestly, I don't know if the younger crowd even cares for that planned date. I feel like they want it to be more like off the cuff, organic type of thing. Because you can plan dates with some people and they just don't want that. You know what I mean?
But again, it's personal preference. You get some chicks that are all about, I want to get dressed up. I want to go someplace really nice. I want to, you know, be, you know, like a couple. Whereas, and then the other thing is kind of like what you were saying about the 3-month rule with the door thing. Once you go from relationship to engagement to marriage to several years of marriage, the luster wears off on that stuff to where, from a date perspective, Lisa and I are like, we can just order takeout and just relax because we're going 100 miles an hour during the week to where on the weekends, if the kids are in chill mode, we're happy to be in chill mode as well. We don't want to, like, go out, get dressed up, because then it's like there's a sense of urgency that you have to do it and do it correctly and make all these plans and arrangements. Whereas even for Mother's Day, Lisa would so much rather be at home with the kids, relaxed, take them to the park. You know, I'll get her flowers and a cake or something like that. And just chill out.
Yeah, because it puts effort. There's effort that's required on going on a date. That's why.
A lot.
That's why you're doing it.
No, I mean, it's not that I'm trying to be lazy.
No,
I
don't mean it that way.
She likes.
Of course. And I don't mean to call you lazy. I'm just saying there's a lot of effort. You got to find someone to watch the kids. You got to plan it. You got to make sure it doesn't conflict with anything that you're doing on ESPN radio. She's got to make sure it's not conflicting with anything she does on TV. It's a process. It's a process. That's why married people hang out with married people.
Yeah.
And I just hang out with a bunch of single idiots.
I mean, I don't think you were raised with a bunch of single idiots, but I think you hang out with them.
I do hang out with a bunch of single
idiots. And I think that influences
you.
That's
a fact.
That's the other thing that factors in.
That is
that can influence
you. I hang out with some of the biggest dumbasses this city has to offer. There is no question about it. And they would own it. They would say, yeah, you're right, Nick.
The door is wide open for you guys to join the conversation because we love also getting off the beaten path and talking about subjects like this and otherwise, and we're open to that. But we are also going to talk a lot about sports because as Nick and Dell got you set up for this extravaganza by letting you know the Rockets take on the Bucks in Milwaukee tonight. The Astros are hosting the George Springer-less Blue Jays at Minute Maid Park tonight. There's lots of other things, both nationally and locally, that we can kick around. But the most important thing is you're involved in the conversation. So if you want to join us, the HR&P listener line is wide open, 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, you can hit us up on Twitch and Twitter. On Twitter, it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, we're the Press Box, and we're just getting rolling. Before we get to the break, I want to tell you that part of me running around this morning meant I had to do my weekly visit to Apollo Men's Health. I love these guys. Because they take care of you in so many ways. When you walk in, they're welcoming. You want something to eat, you want something to drink, you're comfortable sitting in the weight room. When you get into your examination room, they're going to ask you some tough questions. But if you give them honest answers, they're going to get you a program that's right for you. It might be hormone therapy for both men and women. And they do it many different ways, including weekly visits, or you can learn how to do it yourself at home. Or you can do cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, where you only have to go in once every 6 months, but you still get all of the benefits. Other than that, they have all the different ways with HGH peptide therapy you can recover quicker. They have the complete body comp analysis so you can understand your body fat and understand what's going on and what you need to do and what you already are doing well in terms of getting in better shape. And it's all starting with a first appointment. So what you need to do is call 832-664-9966 or you can go online at apollomh.com. Book your first appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. And if you mention my name, you're going to get a free B12 shot on your initial visit. It's just good people doing great things. It's the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Getting ready for the meat and potatoes part of the show. Nick, and I know that you guys touched on this, but since we talked about the Astros game as it was all unfolding yesterday and the highlights and getting that last win in the Bronx, the bigger thing to me is that now they got to keep the momentum. That the fact that what we talked about yesterday that I was kind of keen on bringing up was there were a couple of different monumental things that happened, whether they won the game or not, that meant a lot for this team going forward. Nothing short of the bomb that Altuve hit to get him kind of back in the right mental frame of mind going forward.
Yeah.
And the machete getting three hits, including the insurance policy that they ended up kind of needing at the end, so that you can get this team to kind of get back to just a good, even-keeled flow and take care of their business. Justin Verlander is going to have a press conference today at 2 o'clock. It's kind of weird that all of a sudden it's popped up. I think it's kind of humorous that a lot of people are relying on Justin Verlander and thinking that this is a guy that's going to come in and be a savior late in the season this year. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. No matter what he tells us today at 2 o'clock, I don't care, because you have to only focus on what you have in the clubhouse, what you're dealing with on the current roster. If he's able to help you late in the season, it's a bonus, and you see where he's at, and then you got to get him stretched out. You don't know how many innings he can give you anyway, so you can't rely on him.
Yeah.
You need to worry more about when Baez is going to get off this 60-day IL and how long he could actually keep the COVID for, and when Paredes is going to be ready to return to the roster so that they can get a little bit more strength in their bullpen. And then Odorizzi and Fromber. Those are the guys you need to worry about. If you're hanging your hat worrying about Justin Verlander coming to the rescue like he did in 17, I think you got the wrong focus. I just think that no matter what he tells us, he did what he had to do when he was a member of the Astros. He got you that 17 title by pitching his ass off. So whether he's an Astro next year or not, whether he wants to re-sign with them or somebody else, whether he comes in late in the season and he can contribute in any way, shape, or form, it does not matter, and it shouldn't be anything anybody's concerned about right
now. Yeah, they should approach this situation as if Justin Verlander won't be there. The natural recovery time, I think, for Tommy John is 12 to 14 months. If you look at the timeline, October, and we were talking about this on the last show, October 1st is when he got the surgery. So, I mean, the timeline doesn't necessarily fit for him to make an announcement about his return, but we never know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. And only he knows, Joel, how bad that arm is or how much he's lost his touch. You know, as a pitcher too, when those reports came out by, I believe it was Chandler Rome, and he doubled down on the whole Tommy John situation, even after the Astros or Justin Verlander was disputing it, the way he reacted to that situation told me it was partly because of he might've known that this might be the end of his career. I think the emotion and the fact that he may not be the man ran through his mind. And maybe that's why he reacted like that. Like, I don't think he even wanted to hear the words Tommy John come out of anybody's mouths, let alone the media. So I think that is an indicator. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to retire and he knows he doesn't have it anymore. But I think Verlander knows. He's been in the league long enough. He knows if this Tommy John surgery is going to be a situation that will either allow him to play or not allow him to play. I don't see a Verlander where he gets a no-hitter, which, by the way, fun fact, for you stats geeks, 10-year, Charlie Polillo fans too. Mm-hmm. 10-year anniversary of his second no hitter with the Detroit Tigers, huh? Okay. So I don't know if this makes anything. I don't know if this day means anything for Justin Verlander or because of the announcement, but who knows? Who knows?
I mean, to me, the concern is, what's James Click doing right now? You know, is he trying to get a veteran outfielder, which they desperately need? Is he trying to understand the return dates of all these pitchers? Because you know, the more I think about it, even though I had said right after that he concentrates on getting a real veteran outfielder for this roster and get Miles Straw back to the bench, pinch running and filling in, he could focus on the bullpen. But then I started thinking about it. When you got, whether Josh James comes back full strength and hopefully even better than full strength between the years, but you got Paredes, you got Baez, and then because you have a surplus that we've talked about several times, the surplus of starting pitching. When Fromber and Odorizzi come back, now you're going to probably move a Garcia to long relief. Now, Emmanuel is definitely going to be another lefty in the bullpen, because not only have we seen way too much of Brooks Raley and his 9.5+ ERA, he's basically the only lefty in the pen. You need more than one, whether he continues to stay on the roster or not. But you have options, because you have veteran arms that are hanging around. So from Click's perspective, balance all that. And then as Verlander relates to Click, what it really means is, if I've got to go out and acquire somebody that has a couple years left on his contract, I shouldn't be all that concerned, considering I'm getting Greinke and Verlander off the books. If you want to bring one or both back at a different salary rate, fine. But if you don't, you're saving about $56 to $60 million that you can have, that you can spend, that can help this team win now and into the future.
That's music to Crane's ears, because, I mean, look, I'm not saying he's not aggressive and he's not trying to spend the money to win, but to a certain extent, he has to save money sometimes. Look, otherwise he would have just paid the money for Carlos Correa. Otherwise he would have just spat out and just continued to spend money. But this is probably not the time to do it. And when you consider the roster, it's not like they're a terrible squad. You talk about this all the time. They're not a terrible team. It's not like they're awful and they've completely hit the reset button. So
I watch a lot of baseball. And you know what? And going into this season, I think we had a lot of question marks. They were answered quickly. Would Yuli bounce back? Absolutely. Would Altuve bounce back? For sure. Would Yordan bounce back? Again, 100% yes. So therefore, the key questions that made a massive difference between just being a middle-of-the-road team and once again being a playoff team with it, once you get in, a chance to win, that's what was decided early on by seeing what the lineup could bring to the table. Now, you can. It's also easier to figure out your shortcomings when there are limited things to pick on. That's center field. That's the bullpen. So therefore, you need to focus clear. We haven't heard from Click in quite a while. We need to know that, hey, I'd like to open up some of these rumor mill websites and know the Astros are kicking the tires on a few veteran outfielders and or a few arms that might be able to help, because I still think Ryan Pressly's best suited for a setup role. I think you could get a full-time, big-time closer and do yourself an extra favor. And then again, your bullpen becomes even stronger because of that too. But I think the number one focus is that outfield position, because we know.
I just don't think Click has an update to give you. That's why. That's probably why he's not speaking. I'm not saying they shouldn't get the center fielder. I just don't think he has an update.
I think that whether he tells anybody anything or not, what I'd like to hear is the Buster Olneys of the world, or the Bob Nightingales, or the guys that have their ear to the pavement in terms of the rumor mill, saying James Click is checking in on Kevin Kiermaier or Gerchuk in Toronto, or teams that have a surplus of outfielders going, yeah, we know that once you get to 8 and 9 in the Astros lineup, as good as 1 through 7 is, there's a pretty big gaping hole. Now, Machete makes up for it with his defense, and if the 3-hit thing isn't just a fluke and he starts to pick it up a little bit, you know he's capable of putting back to baseball. So therefore, I'm a little less worried because he does so much behind the plate. But that center field issue has got to be addressed.
It's got to be addressed. I guess one thing that doesn't have to be addressed anymore is Maldonado, because what the hell did he do yesterday while we were talking on the air, getting hits? And what was his batting average going into that game? Was it like not even 100?
It was less than 100. It was like .091.
It was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I guess because he used to catch for Gerrit Cole, maybe that gave him some sort of upper edge in the sense that he can make some contact and hit the ball, but he did indeed get a home run. Yordan Alvarez gets 2 home runs, I think 4 now in the Yankee Stadium, so that's good news. And he hit one of them pretty hard, so that was pretty good. I mean, I'm glad they got the W. I'm glad they didn't get swept by the Yankees, and now they can look forward to this Blue Jays team, despite the fact that George Springer won't be in that game. I guess he's still dealing with some injury issues, but I like it. I love it.
I would assume he's traveling. I think Julio will probably have an interview with him. I hope he's traveling. I hope that everybody gives him a standing ovation. I hope he gets the video tribute and everything else. By the way, if anybody, I still never heard, did they do a tribute video for Daryl Morey? I'd be curious.
I didn't look. I mean, I'm not watching. Look, your team is in town. Or no, are they going to Milwaukee?
They're in Milwaukee.
Okay, so they're going to Milwaukee. Yeah. I'm not watching no damn tribute. So they're not. Obviously, they're not going to have a tribute video over there, but I wasn't going to watch the Rockets game for no tribute video for Daryl Morey. Sorry. Look, I'm not going to sit here and poop on him. Like, he wasn't the greatest GM. He wasn't the worst GM, but I'm not going to sit there and tune in for a game just to see a tribute video to Daryl Morey. No offense.
No, I was just curious because I think Tillman would be absolutely against it and Tad Brown would be absolutely for it. So I would be curious to see who won out.
But Tillman has to be for
it
because he would look petty.
I think Dr. Dre brings up a point about the fact that they cut C-Sheck before the start of the season. I think he's on the Angels. But because they were worried about going over the salary cap. Well, then that's what you need to watch the Verlander press conference for too. Because you do have assets that you can trade. And you can trade a surplus of your starting pitching, like I said. And if you need money, Odorizzi's there. Or if you need, you know, someone that needs a quality arm and a team that's willing to eat a good portion of a veteran salary, which I think Toronto and the Rays are willing to do, that answers your question too. But if Verlander retires, I'm pretty sure the rest of his money comes off the books. Therefore, your problems are solved from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, well, that's great. If it comes off the books, then you're good, because that's a lot of money to be worried about.
But the other thing that I want to mention before we get off the Verlander topic, though, Nick, is this. If I'm Justin Verlander and I'm coming off of Tommy John, and I'm in the last year of my deal, One thing I know for sure is that money ain't going nowhere, whether I play another game for the Astros or not. So therefore, I have an insurance policy. I don't have to come back this year. I don't have to push it. If I feel like I'm not ready yet, or it's close, or it doesn't feel right, nothing says that I need to do anything quickly, no matter how good this team is, that I'm signed with through the end of the year, because I'm trying to play for another contract. And if I am truly looking for another deal, I'm really got to be most focused on, will I be 100% healthy and look great when teams are going to be looking at me and looking to spend money on me?
I'm not surprised if Verlander looks at it that way. Look, at the end of the day, he knows if he has it or not. He'll know when he starts throwing. I think he started throwing five months after the surgery anyway. He began to throw the ball 5 months after the surgery. So only he knows how bad it is. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if that's his thought process. I'm still going to get that money. Let's see if I can squeeze any baseball out of me for another year or so. I'm sure he's thinking about that. And the only way to do that, or one way to do that, is to preserve your body and make sure you're not going through any extra stress in the meantime. And maybe, just maybe, someone else takes a chance on you. I don't think anybody's taking a chance on Pujols.
He's worried about his legacy. And I think to guarantee his Hall of Fame status and, you know, being up there with some of the best pitchers in all time, there's still work to be done. And so therefore, unless physically there's something going on, or he just mentally doesn't have it anymore and wants to walk away, I would think he still wants to play, but I could be wrong. So if we get an update, obviously between now and the end of the show, we're going to give it to you. But there's plenty of more opportunities as we continue to roll just a half hour into the program. So if you guys want to join the show and put a topic out there you've had on your mind, you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. We do it up until 4, as I mentioned. It's Nick and myself. It's the Press Box, ESP. Don't turn it loose. Don't stop now. 'Cause it ain't no use. ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, half hour into the program. We take you all the way up until 4 o'clock on a Friday. Great to have you with us. This is Nick and myself, and we're kicking it around like we normally do on Fridays, talking about sports and other things. Getting into the Astros as they open up a 3-game series this weekend against the Blue Jays. Look, good news from a Astros front. Not only did they get that final game against the Yankees, but in the process, your boy Showtime and the Angels found a way to lose. The A's lost as well. So when you look at it and you start balancing it all out, I mean, even after taking a few lumps, you're over 500 at 16-15, and you're just 2 games behind the A's, tied with the Mariners for second place in the loss column and 1 game behind the A's in the loss column. So from that perspective, you're in a great spot. I mean, you're where everybody knows you're in striking distance, even though you took a few lumps early on and then, of course, had the bout with COVID that took 4 and 5 guys out of your lineup. You're sitting in a very, very comfortable position, and you've got the whole season in front of you, and that's why James Click needs to start looking at things now.
Did you
because
see
you're in a good spot.
So did you, I'm sorry, I was talking to Tyler. Did you mention the Justin Verlander tweet or not yet?
I have not mentioned that yet. I was going to leave that to you, as you were the one to discover it.
Well, yeah, he tweeted it about 4 or 5 minutes ago. LOL, man, y'all are crazy. I'm not retiring. I was asked to do a Zoom call to give updates to the media. So here's the update. I'm feeling awesome, and I plan on still pitching for a long time. So Justin Verlander, before the Zoom call is official, which I believe is still going down at 2 o'clock, takes to Twitter and says he's not retiring. So, like I said, only he knows how he feels, and maybe he doesn't know quite. Like, maybe he needs to get on the field and throw a few in-game pitches to really see how much that arm is going to hold up, Joel.
Here's the thing, Nick. I think that he's already put the video out there of him throwing for the first time. He didn't seem to have any issues there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe someone, and again, we always say this because if we weren't doing what we did and had the opportunity to go to some of these press conferences or get on some of these Zoom calls, it would be nice to say, what's your mindset the rest of this season? Are you looking at a late season return to the Astros? Is your focus on the team that you're currently signed with through the end of the season, Or are you already thinking about the long-term, bigger picture, which is you need to prove to teams next year that you're healthy and capable so you can get another deal? I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, it's gonna, especially if he's saying he wants to pitch for a long time, so his performance absolutely matters. If he's saying he wants to pitch for a long time, then his performance this year or next year, whenever he comes back, is absolutely important because he does want to work on a deal. Now, I don't think he's going to get a big deal like he is right now, but he probably doesn't want no really, really bad deal because a bad offer to Justin Verlander right now might be an indicator to other teams that he's lost his fastball, that he's past his prime, and that's the impression that he doesn't want to give. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, Nick. He's made enough money in his career, and then you're married to Kate Upton, and she's made a boatload too. I think that
not that it's a money issue. It's a bad indicator, bad impression issue if someone gives them a low proposal is what
sure,
I'm saying.
Sure. But I think, you know, and to clarify what I was talking about last segment, he's already in the Hall of Fame. I'm not talking about Hall of Fame, but he's a guy that's a student of the game. He talks about how much Nolan Ryan has meant to him. When he threw the no-hitter in Toronto last year, mm-hmm. he talked about the fact that he's at a certain point now where if he gets one more, it separates him from so many guys that have had two or less. And he could be in another category where there's only a handful of pitchers that have had 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, no hitters. Those are the strikeout list, things like that. Those mean a lot to him. So because of it, and because he has all the money in the bank, he's only going to be looking at winning teams where they're going to guarantee him a spot in the rotation.
Right. And I see Justin Verlander absolutely doing that because of his ego. And I'm not calling him a diva or anything,
no.
But at this point in his career, does he really want to be in a situation where he's like a role player or a role pitcher? I don't think he wants to do
that. But you know what it calls out, Nick? It calls out the fact that he's earned the right to have the choice to make of where he wants to play, especially in free agency, what he wants to play for, and what his goals are. And if you're not interested in entertaining what he's all about, then he's not interested in playing for you. So if the Cubs want him, I'm just using an example, the Cubs or the Red Sox, teams with money but might not be right there at the top of the list for competing for a World Series, will it mean more to him that he's guaranteed a spot in the rotation and a certain amount of starts so he can keep adding up his stats? Or is it going to be more essential to him that he's playing with a World Series caliber team so that he can get to the pinnacle one more time at least and compete for a team championship? Those are things that he's earned the right to be able to choose to do or not to do.
And he definitely earned that. Maybe one player that definitely does not earn another spot on another baseball team is Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
And the Angels general manager spoke on that situation, I believe, yesterday. But this is what he sounded like.
There's never a right time for something like this. Obviously, have all the respect in the world for what type of player he is. This is more about playing time and who we have. You know, we have a young first baseman we feel really excited about in Jared Walsh. We want to see him playing first base every day. And we have Shohei Ohtani, who DHs. So it's more about opportunity. Albert is not a bench player. You know, we felt like for him, with respect to him, keeping him on the bench, him not getting any playing time, would not do him any good or the team any good. So never a good time for this, but with that being said, we felt like it was the best thing for the organization.
Not a bench player, huh, Joel?
That's basically, without saying it, we came to him and said, we still want you to be around, but you're not going to play. And he basically said, and
no.
I think Joe Madden even touched on it, that's not what I'm all about. Now, someone on Twitch said, hear me out, or on text, the Astros should sign Pujols because he knows how to hit in Minute Maid. You don't need Albert Pujols. You know why? Because you don't have a spot for him. Because you need an outfielder. You have a first baseman every day in Yuli Gurriel that hits for average, that hits in the clutch, that does everything you need him to do. You don't need him at designated hitter because you have Yordan Alvarez. So there's no room for him here, and we shouldn't even be having that conversation. If you're looking at teams like the Yankees with a Luke Voit at first base, and he's been out, the Yankees could look at him, but he's going to be back. So do you really want a guy that when he comes back is going to be that same guy that he was in Anaheim going, I want to play? I think the logical place for him to go would be a return to St. Louis. It's the swan song.
We talked about
that. He comes back to St. Louis. I don't think it should be for a one-day contract. It should only be if the Cardinals could actually play him at first base and give him an opportunity to finish where it started and just, you know, fade to black in the uniform that he made famous for his career.
Man.
That, I think, would be a logical choice. Other than that, I don't see competitors snapping him up.
But
I just don't.
And that's why I think if there's no room for him in St. Louis, then I think inevitably he retires. unless he goes to some random team that's willing to snap him up, maybe you use him for ticket sales. I don't know. I don't know. He is a big name in this league. I don't know how much you can up the ticket sales with him being on your roster, especially if it's outside one of those two markets. But who knows? I don't know. I think the more likely thing is retirement, unless he has his way because of his name. Because his name and what he's done in the past actually means something. It still, I don't think it should be a strong argument for anything, but it still does. What he's been able to do over the course of his career, as opposed to what have you done for me lately, speaks a lot, and people will listen to it.
So let me ask you this, Nick, because we talked about this, Charlie's talked about this, and the fact is that the numbers speak for themselves, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Whether he's, as Joe Maddon put it yesterday, a unanimous selection or not, I think is still up in the air, but he's getting in on the first ballot. But when you look at it and look at how much he's been through and the different eras he's played through, and the fact that he's putting up 667 home runs, that he's putting up the third most runs batted in the history of the game, should he have been questioned more about PEDs and steroids? Because he's a big guy. And I'm not saying he did or he didn't. I'm asking the question of those that watch baseball that have seen him throughout his career. It's kind of funny to me, or amazing to me in a way, that he hasn't faced more scrutiny when you think about even a Palmeiro, or even from Barry Bonds to Rafael Palmeiro to McGuire and all these other guys, or a Sosa. You can look at A-Rod. You can look at so many different guys that had major success, and some of the guys he's passed or he's sitting right in that company with of the modern day era in some of the lists that he's on. It's funny to me in a way that he hasn't had to answer more questions, because he is an extremely large, jacked-up individual with a lot of power, and mostly those are the guys that get scrutinized the most.
And I don't have an answer for you. Maybe he's been lucky. Maybe for whatever reason he's likable and they've been able to overlook at it. But if you consider the two markets that he's been played in, St. Louis and L.A., I mean, they're not the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox, but it's certainly two markets that I feel like MLB commissioner and Major League Baseball wants to protect.
Yeah.
Right? St. Louis and Los Angeles. Los Angeles being the big market, despite the fact that they haven't been the best team recently. Mm-hmm. And then obviously St. Louis, because that's a baseball town and that's a baseball city. So it's, you know, they don't have the Rams anymore. So I can see the bias there because of the two markets, but I don't have an answer to you. I don't know why he hasn't been. I don't know if maybe there was inquiries by Major League Baseball or other teams or whatever, and it just didn't pan out, or nothing was made of it. But I don't know. He certainly has the numbers of player.
You're right. He doesn't have anything left to prove. The thing is, he's got to weigh his options carefully, because you don't want an Akeem Olajuwon one season with a Raptors kind of finish to your career, right? We've seen too many greats that on the way out, as they fade,
it's
a bad look, and it's not the way you want. I mean, Emmett Smith as a Cardinal comes to mind, where I'm like, for all the great years as a Cowboy and all the records broken and the fact that he literally cemented his Hall of Fame in a Cowboys jersey, to finish with a year or two with the Cardinals, I don't need all that. And he shouldn't think he needs it either, because I think Pujols has done everything that he's needed to do and more. So unless it's just the love of the game, there's no, and his money was guaranteed, so he's going to get it no matter what. So there's no reason to keep playing unless you truly just love the game enough that you can't give it up. And that's just for the end of the year, because no one's taking him next year.
No. No one's going to take him next year. And he's definitely hitting the waiver wires, the waiver, because no one's going to take on the remainder of the $30 million. He probably got paid for some of it this year, but look, he had a good career. He got a lot of money doing it. His last contract was worth $250 million. Like I said, invest in it correctly.
I'm sure it's been
put away. And the Astros
hate
you.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, like Robert and Tomball said, he's not that beefed up. I was surprised how normal his arms look. Stand next to him in person.
No, he's big, but he's not steroids big. I agree with him.
He's extremely muscular, though. I mean, his forearms are pretty damn massive.
You think so?
To me, maybe. The AJ conversation that we've had that's always gone back and forth is AJ believes that Ken Griffey Jr. is one of my favorite players of all time, because I felt like no matter how many times you looked at him throughout his career,
he never
touched anything. And AJ's like, well, you know, he came back from a lot of injuries. I mean, I think he could have. And I said, I don't know how you can say that. He never got beefed up. He always had the same sweet swing. The mechanics meant as much with power as it did how he looked physically.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't watch. You're a much bigger Ken Griffey fan than I was.
Oh,
and I'm not saying I'm not a fan, but I remember you and AJ bringing up that debate. Well, actually, you were on with me, and I think you guys started talking about it in the hallway.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty convinced that he Ken is. Griffey Jr. cheated.
And so. I disagree. So, all right, we'll continue to roll. We've got lots of other things to come up on the show. Some NBA news from last night, as some of the other proceedings that happened outside of the Rockets were interesting. But lots of other things on the agenda. And again, we'd love to hear from you, as we always do throughout the program on Twitch, also on Twitter, and on text message. Before we go to the break, if you've had issues with your car, with your brakes recently, and you dread the thought of having to go to a brake shop where you got to drink cold coffee and vending machine food while watching bad television on uncomfortable furniture, hoping to God you don't have to wait too long while mechanics do work on your car, and inevitably, instead of just doing their brakes, they tell you that you need to do other things, and they upsell you on other things that they have to do to your car. You can put an end to all of that, and you can multitask at the same time, because with New Brakes, that's NUBrakes.com, they come to you, and they do everything that they do only around brakes. They're experts and master technicians at just brakes. So it's just like, instead of going to the grocery store, doing curbside pickup or home delivery. As long as the costs are similar, why would you go to the store? The same thing that with your brakes. They can come to your work and do it in your parking garage while you're working. They can come to the house, do it in the driveway or the garage while you're mowing the lawn or watching a game, drinking a beer. And you know what? The prices are competitive with all the brake shops in town. The experts only do brakes, and they do fantastic work. And it just makes perfect sense for you to be able to save time and money by multitasking this way. Check them out today. New Brakes, NUBrakes.com. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you're going to save 10%. But more so, you're going to save so much time and energy. And they're going to take great care of you and do great work. It's NewBrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, we were talking about my favorite players of all time in baseball and just favorite athletes, and Bo Jackson and Ken Griffey Jr. in baseball. And when I was playing baseball in college, all over my dorm room were the Bo poster with the shoulder pads with the bat behind his shoulders. And one said hit and run. It was a two-sided poster with him, Royals and Raiders. And to finally get to meet him, and Keenan is the one that kind of introduced us.
Okay, that's cool.
And then we were on the driving range hitting golf balls for like an hour, and we were leaving. And Keenan's like, bro, you going to get something signed by him? And I'm like, man, I've seen him turn away a ton of people today. I'm not going to be that guy. He goes, you're not that guy. He knows you now. And I'm like, nah. And all of a sudden, he goes, hey, Bo, Joel wants you to sign. I was like, no. And Bo was like, you know, and Bo would cuss a little bit. He's like, just shut up and bring something over here. Are you kidding me? Blah, blah, blah. What do you want signed? I was like, he signed a football I got in my office. And I'm
that's
like,
nice.
If that dude doesn't get hurt,
he had
the potential to be Hall of Fame in Bo sports. When you look at in the documentary that ESPN did, the 30 for 30 on...
Amazing.
You don't know Bo. And just from Auburn, you think about track too, which never gets enough in terms of all the things he did as a world-class sprinter in track too at Auburn. But you look at baseball and football and just how head and shoulders athletically and strength-wise he was above everybody, that if he doesn't go down medically, that career could have been... All time.
Well, that's why he's always considered to be one of the best athletes of all time. He's never been able to be considered one of the best football players or the best baseball players. But he is definitely considered one of the best athletes of all time. And I love that 30 for 30 you don't know, Bo. And if anybody remembers Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all know what Bo used to do on Tecmo Bowl.
What's your favorite memories? Because, I mean, like, you know, for me, and they were talking yesterday, and of course, it kind of does rub me the wrong way when Buster Olney says on ESPN that one of his favorite memories of all time is the Pujols home run against the Astros.
Of course.
Because, you know, Buster's already been one of those guys that protects everybody else and wants to talk about the Astros cheating. But when I think about it, I mean, you could think of so many different things with Bo Jackson, but the one to me was the throw. I think it was in Seattle in the Kingdome, where he goes and gets a ball on the warning track and turns and throws Harold Reynolds out at the plate, like on a clothesline. And you go, okay, you knew he could hit. You knew he was athletic. But then he pulls out the rifle arm and does that. And even Reynolds, after he got tagged out, his jaw was open like, did he actually throw that ball from the track?
Yeah. Yeah, he describes, he's like, man, I threw a pellet, dude. I threw an absolute pellet, and it was fast enough. And it was, I remember Harold talking about it, too. Who, by the way, I do like his analysis on MLB, on the MLB Network.
MLB Network, yeah.
But he does look like he's been doing some drinking. I'm just saying.
You know, he also got into it, you know, and that big ESPN book that came out and everything, too, with all the different guys that kind of crossed the line. He was one of those guys, too, that kind of made some, it was like something that they had some saying, and it had something to do with like what baseball players would say about the mitt or something like that. And they're like, you got the leather, or you bringing the leather? And I guess when females would wear a leather skirt or whatever, they'd be like using it that way.
Oh,
and so, because I thought he was great on ESPN forever. And then I think through that kind of stuff, they ended up getting rid of him. But maybe. I think his analysis MLB, is fantastic. Him and John Smoltz are great.
Oh, yeah. Well, MLB, I feel like they wanted him anyway. I mean, they plucked him. MLB Network plucked a lot of people from ESPN, including Robert Flores, who's a local and went to the University of Houston as well. He was at ESPN initially, and then he got his opportunity on the MLB Network, so that's cool. And the story about him using like dunking a stick in the basketball goal, and it was never verified if it was true or not. That's just stories like that. Is
you
just
don't
absolutely
get folklore
crazy.
Stories like that unless you are truly legendary. Like the ball they said he hit at Auburn that not only went over the wall and the net, but I think it ended up in a.
And apparently, he doesn't verify him. Like, well, at least the stick story, he didn't.
Well, and then the other thing that I remember was him just absolutely annihilating Brian Bosworth on Monday Night Football. And going up the tunnel on the long run, too. But the fact that he just completely steamrolled and Mack trucked Brian Bosworth, who I was never a fan of because of all of the face painting and all of the stuff where he just built himself up. But Bo just put him down in a heartbeat and just went, yeah, stop this. That's the kind of stuff that just will always stick with me.
And I think that's one of the reasons why they never get rid of that. Like, I don't know if you don't know, Bo has finally been removed from Netflix, but that's been in their archive. Because, like, a lot of times in Netflix, which you'll see, like, if something does well, even if it does really, really well, like it's been streamed or played a lot on their platform,
yeah,
they'll eventually remove it. Like, sometimes they only have room for so many movies, and mm-hmm. sometimes the rights have been exhausted, so they don't put them on the archive anymore. But, man, I don't know if they've ever removed
whatever platform you use to get your ESPN, it's still available on demand. They have on demand, they have the 30 for 30 category. And as last time I checked, it was still one of those. The Deion Sanders one is good. I love those. There's so many good ones to be seen.
I mean, a lot of people are. Because look, I got a notification today that ESPN Plus is moving up in their prices. They're going from $49.99 for the yearly subscription to $59.99. Uh-huh. So that means people are using it, yep. And it's in demand. Otherwise, they wouldn't go up on the price.
Now, how about this, too? How about the fact that when you think about it, because Barkley, Frank Thomas, and Bo all went to Auburn. How about the fact that Frank Thomas and Bo played football and baseball together?
That's crazy.
Jeez.
That's crazy. Speaking of Barkley.
Swing looks good. Have you seen it?
No. Oh, like his golf swing?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up yesterday.
Well, let's bring it up, but I have an audio clip of him getting at it with Shaq and Kenny.
And speaking of that, too, you can bring up that, and then we got to bring up the booger.
The booger?
Oh, yeah. We got to bring up the booger.
Well, you're going to have to film
that. Might be the world's biggest booger, Nick. And I'm not talking about McFarland either.
What?
So we got lots we can
That's
bring
exactly
up.
Exactly what I thought you were talking about.
So what I'm talking about is right. 1 hour in the books. Still two to go on a Friday. You know that means anything goes, and it probably will, as we've got lots of those stories and others to cover. And, of course, we love having you along for the ride. It's the Press Box at CSP.
That?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.